folks, this is Pastor Butch Paul. And yes, Melody Seastrom will be joining us in a few minutes for Financial Survival. So don't go away. She'll be back with us here. She's having some connection problems. And with live radio, it happens. This is Monday, the 16th day of August, 2021. Melody with us, Benedict Brinks on the market updates. We'll be sharing with you some news and political information from our point of view. And I hope you'll stay tuned and listen to us. Hoping to say something that maybe will inspire you some or make you think a little bit. I know that in America today, as a whole, thinking is going to be a lost art. And reasoning is almost unheard of. Because the only way you can reason is to have some source of truth to reason from. And unfortunately, that's fading away in this country very quickly. And I am not prepared to do the markets, like I said, because Melody's supposed to join us any minute. And as soon as she comes up, please, Todd, tell her to get on there with me right away so we can get this thing rolling. I don't want to start without the market report. I'm sure Melody has a lot of news on that to share with us. But she's having connection problems, like I said, and it just happened. When you know it, just as she's hooking up, coming to the program, we found out she had a problem. And, of course, it can't happen unless it's right at the beginning of the program, like it always does. Live radio is a challenge, no doubt about it. Well, wait, I'll try my best to say a few things until she gets here. Because I know that I said she has some information she wants to share with you. So, Melody, soon you can come and join us.
I'm here.
I need to tell you. Oh, there she's there. There she is. It's good to know you're still there. I was getting all scared.
That you had to do the whole program by yourself?
Almost. How you doing, Melody?
I'm just doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry about the connection, but we'll get her done. Always do.
Yeah, I think my mic just shorted out right as we were going. I guess that's what they call a hot mic. I don't know, but anyway.
Well, you go right ahead, and I'll shut up a minute.
All right, for a minute? No, just kidding.
Or two.
Gold today in the market report for August 16th, 2021. It's Monday. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm happy to be here, and gold, at least it was up today, up $7.60 in the New York spot price aftermarket, $1,788. Silver was up 13 pennies at $23.97. Platinum was down 5 at $1,029, and palladium was down 46 at $2,690. The USDX today was a little to the upside, 0.07 at 92.61. Crude oil was down almost a buck at 67.47. The paper markets today, yeah, the Dow up 110 points at 35,625. The S&P was up 11 points at 4,479. And the S&P was down 29 points, 14,793. The 10-year yield was 1.26%, and let's see what Europe did. Europe was negative across the board, but not by much. None of them were over 1%. Asia, Shanghai was stronger, you know, by a point. Everything else was negative. The Nikkei took a hit. That was down 1.62%, and it looked like that was the one that got beaten up the most. And that's pretty much it in the market report for today. Just so many strange things are going on, and we'll be talking about this here later on in the program. I know Butch wants to touch on what's happening in Afghanistan, and it really is incredible what's happening. And we'll see, but I guess you want to talk about that at the end of the segment, correct?
Yeah, I want to go to it probably the last segment or so, because that's several things I want to say, and this kind of hits me in the gut, because I'm a Vietnam-era vet, and I know what happened, how I felt when we pulled out of Vietnam. I can only imagine how those guys felt that we're in Afghanistan for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And, but you know what, Butch, there's something also behind it, because I just can't believe that they were able to take over a whole country in, what, a matter of days and hours?
Well, that I'm sure that's part of the plan, as it was in Nam. And I don't know all the ins and outs on that, but like I said, I'll share some of that because you're right. This happened too easily, but It didn't take but just a couple years for Vietnam to fall also, or two left. And I don't get, like I said, too far in that right now, but America has had her tail whipped big time. Well, more than once, but twice, by a bunch of Vietnamese living in caves, basically coming out of the caves, and they'd run us out of Vietnam, and now the same thing in Afghanistan. And the money part's sad. That's sad. But the hundreds and thousands of lives have been lost. And in Nam alone, we lost almost 60,000. So no, this is not good. America, as a nation of any kind of respect and power, is finished. It's over. People lost respect for this country a long time ago. Now this has just made another nail in the coffin, so to speak.
Yeah, but you know, the question I say to you, and I know you don't want to talk about it now, but what do you say to those people who say, bring our troops home?
Oh, I have no problem with that. None at all. But it wasn't done the right way, yeah. Obviously. And we shouldn't be there in the first place.
Right. True.
But the ones I'm concerned about, not only the ones that died while they were there on our side, but look what we left the country with. People that were on our side are now having to leave the country or die.
Well, that's, you know what? I'd rather see some of our bases closed in Germany, maybe in South Korea, you know. But bring some of those guys home. What are we there for? Those are some of the richest countries around.
True.
But anyway.
True. Yeah, we'll
let them defend themselves.
There's a lot to talk about on that, and that it's, again, it bothered me a lot. I can't begin to tell you my feelings on this, but we'll get to it in a little bit.
Okay.
Steve,
what would you talk about? What would you rather talk about?
Well, I got more news covered before you get there. Got more things to cover. I sent you the headline. I think you're going to cover different things from the Haitian's earthquakes to different things that's happening around the world. So whenever you're ready, we will kick off and get going.
Do you think there's going to be another Clinton Foundation for?
Boy, they did a lot of good for that. Those people didn't. They made a lot of money off of that.
Yeah,
it is so sad. America has just become a laughing stock of the world, and people say what they want to. Folks, I don't mean to make anybody feel bad, but I heard a guy say the other day, and I've been repeating it ever since then, there is no political solution to a spiritual problem. America needs a spiritual solution, not a political solution. And we have, it just isn't happening. As you know, this coming week, the week after next, not this week, next week, I'll be speaking in St. Charles, Missouri. According to what's been said, it will be the largest revival meeting in the history in the country. Whether it will be or not, I have no idea. I mean, we're told it's going to be 8,000 to 10,000 people there, more, and about as high as 10 million watching online. I really don't know that. I don't know what's going to happen. I know they've been under attack. They have the Ticketmasters, they were selling tickets through. Excuse me. Return the money. People said the event's been canceled. It wasn't, but they said the event's been canceled. So they had to handle that. And then that venue, so they had the 20th this month to pay them up for the rent on the property. And they said, we have to have it tomorrow. So they did that. But they still canceled the indoor venue. We're going to have it on the outdoor venue. It's two different venues set up. This will be on the outdoor venue. The indoor venue's been canceled. No ticket sales. It's going to be done strictly on a donation basis. So they really, for some reason, don't want this meeting to come off. But some of the speakers there are going to be phenomenal speakers. Even Mike Lindell is going to be there to share on Friday night. So we'll see what happens. There's just a lot of things going together, Melody. And the solution, I'm sorry to say that the solution is not going to be from a politician. But it just isn't going to do it. No man can turn the country around.
I don't think anybody ever thought that it would be the solution. They're created the problem, so they can't fix the problem if they created it.
Well, that's true, but everyone looks wants to pick out a hero that's going to come in on a white horse and turn things around.
It's not going to happen.
And I want to teach, if Lord willing, on the lesson I want to teach out there when I'm there, on the understanding our heritage as God's people, and we've lost that. And the Bible says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And also in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. When we've forgotten who we are in God as his children, we've lost our birthright, so to speak. Not because it's been taken away, we give it away. But I'll get that when I'm out there. I better shut up or I'll start preaching. Okay. Anyway. So what, you want to start something yourself on spatial mind?
Oh, no, go right ahead.
Well, I do want to share this because this is just nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with money, but I thought it was really special. meet Edith Murway, a 100-year-old powerlifting great-grandma officially in the Guinness Book of World Records. How you like that, Melody? 100-year-old powerlifter. Edith Murway is not only celebrating her 100th birthday, she also is celebrating her entry into the Guinness Book of World Records as the oldest competitive powerlifter in the female category. This decorated athlete from Florida said she only started lifting 9 years ago after her first visit to the gym. I was 91 and started lifting on a regular basis, Edith said. I never expected I would be in a competition. While I was watching those ladies doing their thing, she said, I thought I might just as well since I was there, so it shouldn't be a total loss. My guess will pick up a few bars, so I did, and they got to be fun. But anyway, I won't go through this article. But I thought it was really amazing. Here I am, 73 years old next month, and I'm grunting because I'm doing some push-ups. I was doing some bench presses. Now, she's this lady's 100 years old, and she's competing in powerlifting. That makes me feel kind of bad. I thought you might want to know. That was a good human interesting story. Human interest story. I thought it was anyway.
Well, more power to her.
I agree. I totally agree. It's good once in a while just to share something that's lighthearted, but you have to certainly respect that lady. There's no doubt about it. 100-year-old powerlifter. Wow. Anyway, back to some more serious situations. Everyone that knows anything about the world at all knows that Haiti has been a poverty-stricken country. How long, Billy? How long we've been alive, probably. They've had problems. They've been hammered and hit and more or less raped as a nation for many, many decades. And they just can't seem to get a break. Haitians heartbroken as deadly quake heaps misery on crisis hit nation. Winnie Hugert Gabriel was presenting her Saturday morning radio show when a 7.2 magnitude earthquake ripped through southern Haiti, sending terrified listeners to race into the streets. Now, folks, 7.2 is a huge earthquake. Even here in Port-au-Prince, you could feel it. It was strong, said a 32-year-old journalist from Magic 9 Station, who abandoned her microphone and sprinted outside after the tremor. Haiti's seaside capital, which was shattered by a less powerful quake in January 2010, appears to have emerged largely unscathed in the latest in a terrible succession of natural disasters to blight the Caribbean nation. The situation in Haiti's southern peninsula over the earthquake's epicenter was far more dramatic, with towns such as Jeremy and Les Cayes pulverized by calamity that authorities say has killed at least 1,297 people and wounded 5,700 more. You know, wow, 7.2. Now, well over 1,000 people they know dead already. They're expecting maybe as high as 5,000. In a country that's just getting over the latest storms, getting ready to be hit by another storm. That's rough. It really is. And I feel for those folks. They never had anything to start with, really. And I feel for them. I really, really do. But with the Clinton Foundation went down there supposedly to help them, and they end up pocketing a lot of money themselves. So we'll see what happens. Anything that you'd like to add to that?
No, it's just, it's again, these are also kind of stories that just kind of adds to, what pain. And I think with media and our ability to have the information so quick, I'm not sure if it makes it less meaningful or I don't know. It's and then on the other hand, it goes to show just what people, how very fortunate we still are.
You're very
to live
true.
In this country.
Very true.
You know, we look at our issues and where we're heading, what we see, and the problems that we face, and then you have these with the news. We see what's happening to all these other countries and the conditions that they're in. And so, I don't know, Butch. We're still blessed.
We are blessed. Way more than we deserve, and that's why I know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." So when our judgment comes, it's going to make Haiti look like a paradise. I can tell you that's biblically true. But you have to feel for people. I don't care what race they are, black, white, red, or yellow. I don't care. When they're going through this kind of hurt, they're people. They have young'uns. They have needs. And then you feel helpless because there's not much you can do to help them. You feel helpless for that. Now, on to something here that I think that I'm sitting like, I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, here comes more money that's being We don't have, but they're doing anyway. USDA to permanently boost food stamp benefits by 25%. Where's the money coming from? The Biden administration has approved a significant and permanent increase in the levels of food stamp assistance available to needy families, the largest single increase in the program's history. Starting October, average benefits for food stamps will rise more than 25% above pre-pandemic levels. The increased assistance will be available indefinitely to all 42 million SNAP beneficiaries. The aid boost was first supported by New York Times, and the details are confirmed by a spokeswoman for the Department of Agriculture. They will be formally announced on Monday by Agriculture Secretary Tom Wilsick. 25% increase, that's a big increase, Melody.
It is.
That's huge. I was talking to a gentleman today who's in the storable food business, actually yesterday. Talking to a gentleman who's in the storable food business, and he said food is getting hard to find. The prices are rising for storable food, and we know that to be true, I'm sure, because what's happening all over the West, the crops are being destroyed, literally by drought, and the farmers are plowing crops under. So food prices are going to go really through the roof. They already started. But the storeable food company said they're having a hard time getting certain supplies in right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, 25% for food stamps, and they use the excuse that people had a difficult time during the lockdown of COVID. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if people were having such a hard time back then, why didn't they increase it back then? But they were getting all kinds of stimulus back then. So this is just another extension of the stimulus from the so-called pandemic. And the question I think, well, if they're increasing at 25%, you know, they have to base it on something. Well, gee, maybe they're basing it on inflation. So wow. They can give 25% increases for people, you know, but Social Security that we paid into.
Yeah.
They got what, a 6%?
Maybe, yeah, 6%, supposed to be. That starts when? January, I believe?
So 25%, 6%.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
If government's going to dish out money, at least they could be fair. And who gets to pay for it?
That's a good question, isn't it? Go figure.
You're right.
I mean, the money that belongs to us already, paid into it for 40 years, we can't get.
Yes.
Yes, I'm not against helping somebody, but again, who's paying for it? And how come the people that live on a fixed income are not allowed to have something along these lines?
And they get 25%, and we get 6%, and we paid for it.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Hey, we're out of time. We're going into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. It'll be going out here pretty soon, I believe. We got some great pricing, and we're still very competitive against premiums are coming down, which is a good thing. Still a little high on the silver and the gold, but it's a lot better than what it was. And I think these premiums, I think, might have found a bottom here, so I'm not sure. But give us a call, 800-375-4188. Butch?
Yes, ma'am, right here.
Okay.
Right here. I want to share the next article. It's talking about water shortage again, folks, but I want to make a comment on this also. I don't know about the water shortages. I do know the man can play with the weather. We've known that for years. If you never don't know that, look up a book entitled Angels Don't Play This Harp, H-A-A-R-P. Man has been messing with the weather since the 50s. In Vietnam, it caused it to rain constantly on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, trying to cut a supply line to North Vietnamese. These are things that we've done for years. The Air Force is directly involved in it in Vietnam and Thailand. So I know this has really happened. We can control the weather. If this is this part of weather manipulation, I wouldn't doubt that at all. Because without water, you cannot do anything. You can't survive without water, period. You can't. Nothing grows, and you don't grow. You die. So do I think this is maybe a reason why they're letting this happen? To get to cause food shortages, get people to depend more on government to take care of them? Yeah, I do. I do believe that. And I think it's going to get a whole lot worse. This has been the worst drought, I guess, in history in some places. So it's going to get a whole lot worse. I don't want to, again, scare you, but folks, I'm telling you that if you just take your time and open your eyes and look around you, you can see what we're saying is true. Prepare yourself for what's coming, I think, this fall in the way of food prices and a whole lot more. If you're not buying some physical silver and gold to keep in your possession, a storable food and a water filter, some way to get water, if you're not doing that, you're going to be caught high and dry, so to speak. I know this country is going through a lot of turmoil. And it's just the recent thing happened in Afghanistan, just another sign that America is decaying. So prepare yourself. But anyway, this article says, small towns grow desperate for water in California. This is in Mendocino, California. As a measure of both the nation's creaking infrastructure and the severity of the drought grip in California, there is the $5 shower. I'm not making it up, folks. That's how much Ian Roth, the owner of the Seagull Inn, a bed and breakfast in this tourist town 3 hours north of San Francisco, spends on every time it washes for 5 minutes under the shower nozzle. $5 for a shower, folks. Water is so scarce in Mendocino, an Instagram-ready collection of pastel Victorian homes on the edge of the Pacific, the restaurants have closed their restrooms to guests. Now listen, pointing them instead to porta potties on the sidewalk. Melody, can you believe that? Isn't that something?
No, I can't.
I mean, pointing my tie to go use a porta potty. I don't ever use porta potty, folks, but they don't generally smell very good. Anyway, and the fire department has asked sheriff's deputies to keep an eye on the hydrants in response to a report of water theft.
Wow.
So in Mendocino, we go out and eat at the restaurant. Don't expect to use a bathroom there. Go out and poop in the porta potty. That's what it boils down to. If that's pretty, to me, a pretty strong indicator that this water shortage is for real. What do you think about that, Melody?
Well, you know, I can remember many years ago. I mean, there's always been discussions about water shortages, more people coming on the planet and so forth, and not coming on the planet, but being, you know, the population growth and so forth. So it's no surprise that, I mean, I can remember when bottled water was just being introduced.
And yes.
I can remember saying, who in the world would be buying water? Now we pay anywhere to $2 a bottle if you're at some sort of an event, maybe even $3 for a little bottle of water. So absolutely, it's going to be a moneymaker for some, and that's the direction that it's going in. So you would think that with all the technology that we have and everything, you'd think they'd be able to purify more water.
If they wanted to, that's the key thing.
If they wanted to, or if they can, they just don't want to because, hey, we pay $2 a bottle for
that's
water.
Right.
So it's a moneymaker, folks, just like everything else.
An old fellow one time told me, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're not going to get the fix if there's too much money to be had.
That's very true, very true. I mean, the love of money is still the root of all evil. An old fellow one time told me this. He said, whenever you start seeing water being sold, bottled water being sold in the United States, we'll be turned into a third world country. And I thought, what? What water wasn't even being sold then? Not that I know of. I mean, it was so uncommon. This has been 25 years ago or longer. Water wasn't being sold like it is now by the case in the store. He said, once we start selling bottled water as a normal thing, we'll be turned into a third world country.
Well, look at it. When we accepted the bottled water, we allowed cities and, you know, whoever controls the local water production. I mean, the cities across this country have to still boil water.
Oh, yes.
Look what happened to Detroit and everything else. So it's, you know, it, to some degree, that's true. We've accepted the bottled water, and we don't accept, you know, government or those who are in charge of it to give us good drinking water. We've accepted their practice of it really is amazing looking back and see what we allowed people to get away with and what we allow for them to get away with today.
Well, I wonder how many people listen to this program remember back before we had city water. We had wells or springs. How many people remember that? I do. Well, I remember when we had our well drilled.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
A little town called Monterey, Washington. We used to get five families used to share one pump. We had our own well drill, and Dad put water in the house. To me, that was like going to heaven. They have to haul any more water in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm sure people out there listening to the program have city water. I mean, have well water. Somebody has to. But it's a scarce thing anymore to have a well on property or springs on property. Most people that are in any side of the community at all are hooked to city water supplies, and they put things on water, folks. It's really not good for you, but that's what you got.
And you can't drink it. You know?
No.
I mean, look what these manufacturing plants. The first time I moved to the Eastern Shore, and I went and found a local doctor. He says, the first thing I want you to do is go get a reverse osmosis filter for your house. He says, do not drink the water. And it's because you had all DuPont, all these manufacturing plants dump everything into the Chesapeake. More on the other side, has some of the highest rates of cancer. And yet, nobody's just held accountable. Nobody cares. People get taken to court. They, you know, these companies pay you have a family that's hurt and you might have lost someone, and a company is willing to pay out $2 million, $3 million. It's a lot of money. And they get away with it. Plus, they grease the hands of the judge and the attorney. I mean, it's, oh, my. It's just amazing
it is what we
live in. And we're supposed to be the country of law and order. Huh. It's unbelievable.
Well, you've heard the old saying that you can get as much justice as you can afford to buy.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
So, yes, we are a third world country. And maybe second at least now.
Mm-hmm. At least. Back to some more drought news, because I thought this is another very interesting story because it covers some of the severity of this drought. Severe drought could threaten power supply in the West for years to come. Now, even though they're already doing rolling blackouts in California and some in Texas. Now, folks, this is going to increase. Now, listen to what I'm telling you, an old hillbilly preacher. You're going to see rolling blackouts, especially right now in the West. They can't produce enough electricity to keep everybody moving. You're going to have rolling blackouts. They'll probably schedule when they're going to do it. You'll have power for 10 hours a day. It'll be off thus and thus, whatever. It's going to happen all over the country eventually. But it'll start in the West. As drought persists across more than 95% of the American West, water elevation at the Hoover Dam has sunk to record low levels, endangering a source of hydroelectric power for an estimated 1.3 million people across California, Nevada, and Arizona. The water level at Lake Mead, the Colorado River reservoir serving the Hoover Dam, fell to 1,068 feet in July, the lowest level since the lake was first filled following the dam's construction in the 1930s. This month, the federal government is expected to declare a water shortage on the Colorado River for the first time, triggering cutbacks in water allocations to surrounding states from the river. Now, I do know this. Somebody, I will say the elite, is buying up property along the Colorado River. I'd say they're planning on, somehow or another, getting their fingers in the water, so to speak, to make some money from the Colorado water supply. I have no doubt that's true. They're not buying it just to put a house on. No, there's a reason behind this. But power supplies, and this isn't just in the West, there's power supply from water. There's one here in our area. Summersville Dam has a hydroelectric plant on it. It doesn't furnish power to our area. It goes into Virginia. But who knows what could happen there. But the water supply is going to be cutting power back to more than a million people right now they know of in California, Nevada, and Arizona. Rolling blackouts are a good possibility. I'd say they're not a possibility. I think they're going to happen as time goes along, maybe starting this winter. Rolling blackouts could become part of keeping the system supposedly working, getting people used to the idea of doing without. I mean, that's my comments on that. Mel, anything you add to that?
No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've had a lot of changes in various areas, and drought is one, and there's a lot of places that we're facing with drought, and yeah, it's going to have major impacts.
Well, folks, again, we're just asking you to look around you and prepare yourself best you can. I don't have any answers when your power goes off. I can't tell you. If mine goes off, it's going to bother me also. I mean, I have a generator. I can run for a while with the generator, but even that's going to run out for a while. But you have a huge solar system on your home, and it takes a lot of solar panels around the house, folks. It does. What's the use to run everything in the house, from freezers to TVs to hot water heaters? Everything we run, electricity, we're used to it.
Yeah.
But the solar systems don't normally do that. So prepare yourself the best way you can. Different topic, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. Half of Paris cafes and bars refuse to require vaccine passports. I mean, they're literally almost up in arms in Paris. And Australia now. Australia's on a complete, total lockdown just about. Even the military's out in the streets. But we're seeing people rise up all over the world now because of this. And a lot of these in Paris, and also we'll talk about L.A. in a minute, are saying the cafes have to ask everybody for their ID to show their passports. And half the bars cafes in Paris say, we're not going to do it. We're not the passport police, they say. We're not going to check for health passports. We're just not going to do it because we are not here to do this. This is not our job. And they're getting kind of fed up with it. So, Melody, if the cafe and bar owners are going to say, we're just going to forget the law and just flaunt the rules, so to speak, they're facing shutdowns for 7 days. And then after the second infraction, then they can go to jail for a year. But they say we're not going to do it. Are you seeing a division being caused here by this COVID nonsense?
Well, it certainly is, and it's almost certainly a little bit more than just division at this point. But there was thousands and thousands of people who demonstrated in Paris over the weekend.
Oh,
thousands.
Yes.
And so it's just, it's all around the country. And so people are beginning to say, you know, and they're right. Why should they believe the be a passport police? I mean, it's just amazing, Butch.
It is. People are actually fighting in the streets over masks. I mean, literally, yeah, to the point of stabbing each other. This is happening right now. Los Angeles to require vaccinations to buy groceries. That's going to fly real well, I bet. The demand for COVID vaccinations, including various governmental and corporate requirements for the shots, finally may be getting out of hand, you reckon? Not that it hasn't already caused controversy, economic injury, and more. Now the Epic Times reporting a plan in Los Angeles to require vaccination proofs in order to go to restaurants, gyms, entertainment venues, and retail stores, including grocery retailers. The report said that we would be more restrictive. The report said that would be more restrictive. That New York City's plan to require the proof is restaurants and such, because it excludes retail stores. LA's plan comes from Council President Nuri Martinez and Council Member Mitch O'Farrell. In a prepared statement, Martinez claimed it's our responsibility to protect the public. That includes protect from the unvaccinated. The decision to not get vaccinated doesn't just affect you. We have kids under the age of 12 who are not eligible for the vaccine yet, and someone's decision is not to get vaccinated affects them all. O'Farrell claimed those who choose not to take the criminal vaccines are immoral. Are immoral. Are you seeing a trend here, folks, to cause division and in-your-face confrontations? When people can't go to the store to buy groceries, they're going to be upset, and rightfully so, and I don't blame them. Somebody got to stand up and say enough is enough. Somebody got to say we're not going to do this any longer. We're not going to play this game anymore. Somebody got to say that. And it's starting to happen all over the world. Will Americans do that? I pray so. I pray so, because if we don't, we're not going to have what's left of our society much longer, because we're going to see more confrontation. And God forbid, we're going to see violence in the streets. But people are getting fed up with this. They truly are. Melody, I know about we're going to break. Anything you add to that?
No, and I'm not sure they actually pass that into the grocery stores, but it's just how long is it a matter of time, until, these large cities decide to just go that next step further just to see what they can get away with. And it's amazing.
It is amazing.
So we are heading into the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch. And we've been talking about all the crazy things that are going on here and around the world. And it's what other crazy thing are you going to want to talk about today?
I want to discuss what happened in Afghanistan after a little bit, because I think this is bigger than we realize. And I can't say that I know. I certainly don't know all the ins and outs of it. I have no idea what really went on behind the scenes. Do I think it was pre-planned? Yes, I do. I do believe that. And because it happened so fast, if it'd been a couple of years down the road, they fought for two, then maybe not pre-planned. But I think it was. Now, I don't know this. I'm just getting speculation, folks. But I think U.S. had a deal with China already. We'll pull out, you take over for some reason. Do I know that? No, I don't. But China moved in very quickly. They filled the void. Just as soon as we were out, they were there. And they recognized the Taliban as a lawful government. And so do I think more than what just us leaving the country? I really do. Not that I agree with being in the first place. We shouldn't have went there in the first place. But folks, we go over there and we disrupt the country with our presence. We promise them all kinds of things. We're going to help them. We're going to set up a democratic government. We're going to help you take care of things here. We hire people, we train people, we get people that are politicians on our side. They support the U.S. Then we pull out and leave them high and dry. Almost overnight. We wonder why people hate America. We wonder why they lost respect for this country. I've never been to Afghanistan, but I have read some about the people. And the people as a whole are mostly peaceful people. But the country has been fought over for centuries. In the Middle East. All the Middle East had been uproar for centuries. But we went in and did what we did and pulled out and let them fall overnight, literally almost overnight fall. But Taliban's Abdul Ghani Baradar is undisputed victor of a 20-year war. Abdul Baradar, the Taliban leader freed from a Pakistan jail on the request of the U.S. less than 3 years ago, which would be under Trump, folks, has emerged as an undisputed victor of the 20-year war. While Hezbollah Alexander is the Taliban's overall leader, Baradar is its political chief and its most public face. He was said to be on his way from his office in Doha to Kabul on Sunday evening. In a televised statement on the fall of Kabul, he said that the Taliban's real test was only just beginning and they had to serve the nation. Sounds good. Maybe sincere, I doubt it. It sounds like it. 20 years. I remember before we went in, Russia went into Afghanistan. They walked out the tail between their legs also. We went in 20 years ago, put in trillions of dollars, and that's nothing compared to the lives that we had destroyed on our side and on the other side, as far as the civilians in this country goes. Afghanistan takeover by Taliban worries governments in the region, Europe, that chaos will spread. Pakistan and Iran are among countries most vulnerable to a wave of refugees. The European governments are also raising concerns. Folks, this is going to be huge. I don't know where it's going to lead to in the long run. I really don't. But I'll get to some more of that in a minute. The collapse of the Afghan government and takeover of the country by the Taliban is stirring concern to foreign capitals that chaos and instability engulfing the country could spill over to its neighbors and possibly drive a tide of refugees as far as Europe. There was also an undercurrent of criticism of the U.S. for the speed of its departure after nearly 20 years, colored by Washington's failure to establish a stable government that could stand without American military support. Pakistan fears a flood of refugees will try to cross the border between the two countries, adding to some 3 million Afghan refugees already living there because of the past violence. Pakistanis considered the country with the most influence over the Taliban because the group's leadership had been based there since its regime was ousted by the 2001 U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan, but it has denied that it supports the Taliban. 2001, I remember going in there. I remember that. That's been quite a few years ago, folks. We went in there, of course, supposed to be over 9-1-1, over 9-11. And I don't believe they had anything to do with that. To tell you the truth, that's beside the point. We're seeing another scenario been building up. I do believe, this is my opinion, that the Taliban is going to be blamed now for a lot of terrorist attacks all over the world, especially in Europe, perhaps, and maybe here in the United States also. So the elite will turn loose to cause more chaos in Europe and here, around the world. We will see, won't we? But 20 years worth of fighting, we surrendered overnight. Biden's Afghanistan surrender. The president tries to duck responsibility for a calamitous withdrawal. Now I'm going to say this and move on. Yes, they pulled out under Biden. And I don't think Biden planned this. Biden can't even plan enough to scratch his head. I don't think it had anything to do with the law as far as planning this event. For years now, we've had presidents talking about getting out of Afghanistan, including Obama and Trump and Bush. They've been talked about for a long time. It was set up to happen under Biden, I think, for a reason, because Biden really, I don't think, has the capability of understanding what's going on. He's a puppet. He's just a figurehead in the White House. So, it says, President Biden's statement on Saturday, washing his hands of Afghanistan, deserves to go down as one of the most shameful in history by Commander-in-Chief as such a moment of American retreat. As the Taliban closed in on Kabul, Mr. Biden sent a confirmation of U.S. abandonment and absolved himself of responsibility, deflected blame to his predecessor, and more or less invited the Taliban to take over the country. With that statement of capitulation, the Afghan military's last resistance collapsed. Taliban fighters captured Kabul, and President Ashraf Ghani fled the country while the U.S. frantically tried to evacuate Americans. The jihadists the U.S. toppled 20 years ago for sheltering Obama and Osama bin Laden will now fly the flag of the U.S. Embassy, building on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Let this sink in, folks. A year, 20 years ago, to almost to the month, we went in and we left, almost on the same date. That is not a coincidence. That is not a coincidence. It didn't happen just by accident. Biden said, more or less said, you're on your own. Whatever comes, you got it. We're out of here. I do know that they haven't got all the U.S. personnel out yet because the airport has been attacked. There's all of them are not out. The Marines have been fighting some of the Taliban right now, as of today. So I don't know where this is going to lead to. But I do know there have been thousands of Afghanians who worked with us who are now stranded there to face whatever the future holds for them. They have families. They have concerns. They have lives. Where are they going to go now? What's the next step? I remember watching on TV in 1975 when the Saigon fell to the North Vietnamese. I remember 1973 when we pulled out. I remember that. Watching people trying to get on a helicopter up the side of a house, a chopper on top of the house, and people line up on the steps trying to get up in a helicopter to leave with the Americans, and they had to stop them because there wasn't enough room in the helicopter. These people trusted the U.S., and we deserted them. We deserted them. Yeah, I know we deserted some of our men over there, too. I know that for a fact, but that is not even what I'm wanting to say. We deserted the people there that trusted us. Some of my friends were killed in Nam. And I'm sure that some people had friends killed in Afghanistan. For what? What was gained by the war, people? Ask yourself the question, what did we gain from that war? Somebody's pockets got lined with drugs out of Vietnam. That's true. Oh, yes. They packed cocaine in body bags. I know that for a fact. And I'm sure they packed a lot of heroin in different ways in Afghanistan. Some elite somewhere made a lot of money off these wars. But what did you and I gain? The next article says, for many U.S. veterans, the fall of Afghanistan to Taliban stirs confusion, disappointment, and anger. I know exactly how they feel. When I saw a Saigon fall in 75, when we pulled in 73, I got home in 71. It made me angry. It almost made me cry. In fact, I probably did shed a tear or two. And I thought about the guys that went to school with it that didn't make it home. That really still stirs inside me sometimes to the point it almost brings me tears now. Because it makes me angry. How many generations are we going to be played for a sucker in this country before we figure out these wars are not for the U.S., they're for the rich man? The U.S. Marines dispatched Zach Lara to Afghanistan a decade ago, stationing him in Helmand Province, where he guarded against Taliban advances and trained Afghan soldiers in Shagin, a community of 20,000. He left 7 months later at age 20, proud of having helped build wells and housing and thankful to have dodged death. 17 Marines from his unit were killed in action. Dozens survived with lost limbs. More later died by suicide. He got an honorable discharge and started a career in communications. He said, I'm conflicted, said Laura, who lives in Los Angeles and grew up in Victorville. How long do we need to be? So many people dead, so much money, so many resources. But I also wonder, could we have stayed longer and done more? Folks, I don't know what more we could have done in Vietnam. I don't know what we could have done. We shouldn't have been there. I know that. But again, the desertion of people that trusted us and the death of 60,000 young men. And since then, as he mentioned, the suicides from Afghanistan, folks have been that many more committed suicide to get home. And after we got home, a lot of people died of Agent Orange poisoning. I had a friend named Carl Donaldson died of cancer. I have two friends still alive who have cancer right now because of Agent Orange. I'm a diabetic because of Agent Orange. It fried the pancreas. What do we have to show for that? I take 3 shots a day plus medicine and watch me die continually because of Agent Orange. I would rather have my pancreas back and then have to give me medicine for it. You say, preacher, that does bother you. Yes, it does bother me a whole lot. It bothers me more than I can put into words. Saigon fell in April 1975, the North Vietnamese. They had on about 2 years after we left. Again, 60,000 men, and probably women too, died in this battle. This war, it wasn't a war, it was a police action in Nam. It's like Korea. Korea was a stalemate. We lost Vietnam. We lost Afghanistan. But I'm convinced we did not lose until the rich had plundered the country for everything they needed. We do know that the so-called Gulf of Tonkin incident that Johnson started the war with, it never happened. We know that's true. Just like we know the Pearl Harbor was known about months before it happened to get the United States in mood for war. War is a elite game of control and profit. Let that sink in. The Bible tells us where wars come from among us. It comes because of greed and lust and power. That's where wars come from. So now we're seeing, again, a nation evacuated, which I agree should have been done. But I agree, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. So what's going to happen now? I don't know. Just like The Marine named Lara, L-A-R-A, just said he was confused and disappointed and angry. My friend, I know what you're saying. I do. I have a hard time thinking about it still yet, Melvin. I've been out of there since 1971. That's been 50 years. And it still makes tears in my eyes to know what happened. And met people over there that I got to be friends with. A lot of them didn't make it home. It does bother me. It does. So that's my opinion what happened in Afghanistan. I share it from my heart, folks. There's more to this picture than we see. There's more things in the future that's going to come from this incident that we don't know about. Prepare yourself, prepare yourself, prepare yourself. It's going to get nasty in this country. Believe me, COVID's not over yet. It's not even close to it. They're already preparing the vaccine boosters this fall. This fall, folks, you're going to start giving out boosters because the shots were not effective enough the first time. They've got about 100 million doses already prepared to give out this fall. It's not over. The economy is not going to get any better. Prepare yourself for what's coming in America. All right, Mel, now we'll be quiet. We're down by the last minute.
I really don't know how to close out after that, Butch. I mean, you said some powerful things, and we understand. And I think one thing that the people of this country, maybe a little bit of a closure to maybe not so division. Highly unlikely, but it's just a positive thought, because I think people all around can feel that somehow we feel weak and that we've lost our status. And I think this Afghanistan situation kind of brings all of that out in the open to some degree. So I don't know. It's to hear the stories of what's happening over there and how quickly, you bet they had a lot of help behind them. I said that last week. But yep. We are out of time, and we will be back tomorrow. So until then, well, I think I'm about 10 seconds early. Our producer, Todd's going to have a fit. But
and, Melly, one quick thing, too. The families that lost loved ones over there and now in other places, how do they feel about this?
Exactly. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.